Our learning tonight is sponsored by Jerry Goldfisher in memory of his mother, Devorah Bas Chaim Yaakov, Zichrona Levracha, by Sandra Lehrer in memory of her brother, Aryeh Leib ben Harav Yoshua, Zichrona Levracha, and by Roberta Safier in memory of her father, Natan Meir ben Yoshua Zelig, Zichrona Levracha. And of course, we are still in the Marmon Girdlestein, the Garden Mermelstein Chodesh of Inspiration, which extends through through Tishrei as well. So we thank them for the sponsorship too. And I thank you all for coming tonight on after this Ta'anis Tzibur, as we move further in the Mesilas Yesharim into Perek Gimel. Perek Gimel is Beveir Chelkei HaZehiros. It's on the elements of vigilance. We are still within the first of the Midos, the progression of character development, the first stage of character development in the Mesilas Yesharim, which is Zehiros. And he spends several Perekim describing different components and elements of it. And Perek Gimel, once again, pertains to Beveir Chelkei HaZehiros. And this parak actually has advice that's almost so intuitive. It's a real fulfillment of the hakdama, of the introduction of the Mesilas Yesharim, where he tells us that what he writes is going to be intuitive, but important to review nonetheless. The advice here is quite intuitive, but indeed quite important to review, because it's something that we often neglect, despite its intuitive character. And we're actually going to spend two nights on this parak. Tonight and hopefully next week, we'll have another opportunity to explore different components of the parak as well. And the basic point that I want to explore really emerges from the very beginning of the parak. So we'll read a couple of paragraphs quickly together, and then we will elucidate some of its themes, as we always do. The parak begins as follows. If you want to really consider your character, and you want to approach character development in a serious way, you need to think about two things. And again, it's so intuitive when he says it, but the mere explication of it is impactful. Achas sheyisponin mahu atov ha'amiti sheyivchar bo ha'adam, v'hara ha'amiti sheyonos mimenu. The first is you need to contemplate what is truly good and valuable and worthwhile, and what is something that you should be avoiding. That's what he's been speaking about until now. That's what we've been talking about until now. Having a clear sense of what our destinations are in life and what we're moving towards and what our values are. What are the core values that animate us? Or what's our core axiology, if you want to use a fancy word that Soloveitchik was fond of. That is the first thing that you need to contemplate. But then he says, there's a second piece that you need to start thinking about as well. Again, if you're going to pursue character development in any kind of serious way. The second thing you need to think about is your own actions. Where are you at? So you have this set of values that you ostensibly believe in. You have this destination that you're ostensibly moving towards. The next piece of that is to consider where you are actually at. To do a personal accounting of whether you're actually on the path that you desire to be on. Whether the actions that you are engaged in are in consonance with the values that you espouse and cherish. He says, Liros aim mi klal ha-tov o mi klal ha-ra. Once you've established clarity in terms of what is valuable and what's not, what you want to be moving towards, what you want to be avoiding, you next need to do a personal accounting to determine whether or not you are actually on the right path. And he says, this itself needs to be done on two different levels, and this is what we're going to talk about tonight and next week. V'zeh b'sh'as ma'aseh v'shalo b'sh'as ma'aseh. This personal accounting itself needs to be done in two different ways. Number one, when you are actually engaged in activities, b'shas maisa, and number two, when you are not actually engaged in the activity, forward planning, thinking proactively about what you will be doing ahead. B'shas maisa, the Ramchal says, in the moment you need to be contemplating things. Shelo ya'asa shum maisa mebelisha yishkol osa b'mozne zos ha'yedia. And again, it's a very obvious piece of advice. He basically says, think before you act. Just think about what you're doing before you do it. Again, such a simple piece of advice, but one that's also profound, because we're often in the breach of the advice more often than we are in consonance with it. And then he says, "Shalom b'sha'as ma'isa." You also need to think proactively, not when you're not in the heat of the action. Shiyala lefanav zichron klal ma'isa v'yishkol osam. He says you need to set aside time for thinking about what you're going to be doing. So that second component we'll leave for next week. What I really want to focus on now is just this notion of thinking b'sha'as ma'isa, of having a conscious, at the forefront of your consciousness, a real contemplation about what exactly you're going to be doing, and a real cognitive weighing of pluses and minuses, of value versus versus costs when it comes to the actions that we take. Now, it happens to be that this whole idea is like quite in vogue nowadays with what's known as the mindfulness movement. Mindfulness is like a major buzzword nowadays. And if you want to know what mindfulness is, I will tell you. I'm reading from mindful.com. And the article is entitled, What is Mindfulness? So I will share with you what mindfulness is. It happens to be when I was in Einstein, I had a congregant who was actually a mindfulness coach. And mindfulness is defined on the website as follows. It says, mindfulness. It's a pretty straightforward word. It suggests that the mind is fully attending to what's happening, to what you're doing, to the space you're moving through. That might seem trivial. Like I said, think before you act. It's something that we tell our kids all the time, something that, as a high school teacher, you're disciplining your students all the time. It seems trivial, except for the annoying fact that we so often veer from the matter at hand. Our mind takes flight, and pretty soon we're engrossed in obsessive thoughts about something that just happened or fretting about the future, and that makes us anxious. Or, I would add, something totally random that is totally trivial and unimportant that we just end up thinking about because we're not fully cognizant of where our mind is going. Mindfulness, it says, is the basic human ability to be fully present, aware of where we are and what we're doing, and not overly reactive or overwhelmed by what's going on around us. And as much as this idea is in vogue nowadays, it's something that has been part of our Masorah for a long time. Let me just demonstrate with a basic example. That's, I think, a timely example, and one that I would assume many of us, if not all of us, experience in the days behind us and the days ahead. Over the course of the Yomim Noraim, we spend a lot of time in shul. A lot of time in shul. And a lot of the time that we spend in shul is not what I would call active prayer time, but it's passive prayer time. During the Chazaras HaShatz of, let's say, Musaf of Rosh Hashanah, which is very long, or Musaf of Yom Kippur, which is even longer, there's a lot of listening that we're doing. Perhaps, when you have a good Baal Tefillah, and Baruch Hashem, we are privileged to have many wonderful Baalei Tefillah, they will choose tunes that arouse the crowd and draw everybody into the singing as well. But lots of time, it's passive listening. Now, I challenge you to think about this coming Yom Kippur, or reflectively, this past Rosh Hashanah, how much time you are actively in control of your thoughts during Chazaras HaShatz. And note, I'm not asking how much time you're actually focused on the words and what's being said. That would be great, but I'm not even aspiring to that very high level that most of us don't attain. How often are we even just in conscious control of our thoughts? In other words, if you would say to yourself, look, ideally I should be focusing on the words, but it's very long and I'm not ready for that now, so instead I'm going to focus on something else. I'm going to think about something else productive in my life that I need to be thinking about. Then at the very least, you're still actively, consciously in control of what you're thinking. But how many of us can say that during the Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur Tefillos? So often, we're not even consciously in control of where our mind goes, and it just drifts. We call it spacing out in English. But we just drift to different places, and at the point that you actually realize or you become conscious of your own thoughts, you have no idea how you got to the place where you are. That's what often happens when we're not mindful of where we are going. And the Ramchal says just a basic principle of character improvement is just being mindful of what we're doing, mindful of our thoughts that we're thinking, of where we are going. And the greatest Baalei Musar always exemplified that. Contemporary mindfulness involves lots of exercises. It involves lots of meditation and things like that. So if it works for you, great. I'm not the biggest meditation person. I'm very into introspection, but meditation never really worked for me. If it works for you, wonderful, as long as you have to be careful. Sometimes meditation has connections with certain Eastern religions, which has certain avodah zarah shailas, which is not something you want to be doing during the Aseret Yemei Teshuva, or ever, for that matter. But even assuming you have a totally secular form of meditation, totally divorced from any kind of religious practice, any kind of paganistic religious practice, whatever the case may be, if it works for you, great. If not, not. The basic premise of being mindful of what we're doing is something that the greatest of Baalei Musar have always exemplified. They say about Rav Chanan Wasserman. Rav Chanan Wasserman is not overly identified with the Musar movement, but he was certainly somebody who exemplified an extraordinary degree of character refinement. They said that every single word that he said, you could tell, was carefully calculated. Sometimes he would just stop to think before speaking. In a routine, mundane conversation, not necessarily when he was delivering a shir or delivering a sicha in high-flying matters of Torah, halacha, hashkafa, just ordinary conversation, he would stop And he would measure his words before speaking. You could see the gears turning in his head before he would speak. Speech was something that was important to him. And if it was important to him, he needed to be mindful of what he was saying before he would say it. And for most of us, we just speak and hope that what comes out is coherent. And we think about it afterwards, maybe, but certainly not in advance. There's no forward planning. He was very mindful of what he would say. They said that sometimes he would be asked a question from a student in Shir. And he would go over the exact words that he had presented beforehand more slowly, trying to find the exact point where he had lost that particular student over the course of the Shir's discourse. He was able to recount the exact words he was saying because they were so carefully measured to begin with. And that is indeed a very important part of our character development. I'm very fond of a Rambam. I forgot to bring a Rambam with me. But the Rambam in Deos, Perek Gimel Halacha Gimel, is one of Rav Lichtenstein's favorite Rambams. Says that when Shlomo HaMelech tells us, B'chol derechecha do'ehu, Sefer Mishlei, Shlomo HaMelech says that in all of your ways you should know Hashem. What it means is, when you are calculated about what you do, the Rambam says, anything in your life, and everything in your life, becomes part of your Avodas Hashem. When you are calculated about the way you eat, what you are eating, how you are eating it, you're not just doing so in order to engage in some kind of gluttonous drive to satisfy your palate or fill your stomach, but rather you're doing so in order to maintain a healthy and balanced lifestyle. The Rambam says when you're calculated about your sleep, when you're doing it, and the amount that you're doing it, and things like that. The Rambam gives example after example of mundane things that he says become part of your Avodas Hashem, that become part of your divine service when they are done in a calculated and mindful way. And the Rambam closes, it's a powerful Rambam. He says, Nimtza, he says, what ultimately emerges is that the entirety of your life. There's no separation between moments when you're engaged in the sacred and moments when you're engaged in the profane or the mundane. Everything is elevated if you are simply mindful about what you are doing. And even if we're not in that place, where we're capable of being mindful of even our sichas chulin, of our ordinary speech, or the ordinary parts of our day, the mundane parts of our day that we're engaged in, at the very least, to be thoughtful and mindful of the sacred parts of our day, of the moments when we're going to shul, to try to at least have full control and be present in the moment when we're standing before Hashem in our davening, which again, is no simple task, it's quite difficult, but to be present, to have the presence of mind when we're interacting with others in interactions that, again, can either elevate us in terms of the way we conduct ourselves and the way we treat other people, or can degrade us if we make the wrong choices in that regard. The effort to always be present, have the presence of mind to just be consciously thinking about what we're doing before we're doing it, is such a simple piece of advice, but one that's so critical, and indeed that we often neglect. So let us all strive, again, at least during the Aseret Yemei Teshuva over the course of Yom Kippur, to be mindful of where we're at, of what we're doing, and to use that to indeed fuel character development and enhance our Avodas Hashem.